Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back, and today we are predicting and ranking the final nine of Survivor 44, and we are joined by Jesse Lopez of Survivor 43. Jesse, long time no talk. What's going on? Happy to have you on here. How you doing?
I am very good. I'm very excited to be here. I was telling you a little bit earlier, this is a little surreal for me because when I first started trying to get on the show, your podcast was the podcast that I had found and started going through all of the interviews with former castmates and re-listening to everything. So to be here with you both is super cool.
Wow. So Phil, do we get like credit for his placement or?
He got forced, I don't know. We don't take that credit. We only take time.
Yeah, you don't want that. Ugly cried on TV. Like you don't want that.
Yeah.
That was
pretty crying. You don't throw yourself under the bus like that.
was going to say, we only take credit for the winner who didn't win anything, didn't have to get any idols, didn't have to make any crazy moves, and won the game without even having to do the season's twist. So unfortunately, Jesse, you actually like did things. So we can't take credit for your game. We only take credit for Tommy's. So that's it. But it's great to have you on. I'm excited to hear what you're thinking about this season now that you're removed from your season. What's it been like to actually sit down and watch this and watch other people run around the island that you were king of for 25 days?
25 days, yes.
Who's counting?
It's fun to watch with not like the pressure of like seeing myself and having to hear my voice back. it's great to watch other people play. I really like the cast. I think that it's all been said. I feel like the early parts of the season have been sort of like just so much thrown at it. Bird cages, fake idols, like split tribals, control of vote. There's just so much going on that I feel like it was a little bit hard to follow, and it was like tough because I like so many of the people on the show. Like the cast is great. And so you kind of have to push through all of these other things that are going on to really connect, but I'm enjoying it. I think that there's some fun people on there, and I am a 100% Carolyn stan. So get that out of the way right now.
Welcome to this podcast. You'll fit right in here.
Yeah. You guys didn't have a Carolyn on your season. Like you didn't have somebody that was like that. Cause people are trying to make the Gabler comparison, but our Gabler and Carolyn,
it's because we all want Carolyn. We all want Carolyn to win. That's it.
Has any season had a Carolyn?
Probably just Nora, right? Like she was the closest thing.
I don't know.
They're different. Not that I've watched 39. They're pretty different.
Did you block 39?
Oh no, that I didn't finish my own sentence. Not that I've rewatched 39. Yeah, okay. But I don't know what Survivor is. Whole
season, and we just talked about how the winner was because of us, and she doesn't even know.
Huh?
Yeah, right. Yeah, but Carolyn, I mean, Carolyn's been phenomenal TV right across the board, and it kind of feels refreshing to have somebody like her in this new era, because I don't think we've had somebody who is such a personality that we're all taking her for granted and not thinking there's any gameplay going on there in a long time. Like I struggle to think, like, when was the last time we had a player who was dominating screen time, having a lot of confessionals, coming into the season, we're all going, there's no way this lady's going to have any game. And she's actually playing really well, but still being underestimated. Like, I know that has happened in Survivor history, but I struggle to just pinpoint an exact person that was like that.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time thinking about it too. I'm like,
yeah. We have different versions of it. Like Marianne winning, for example, is probably the most recent attempt at equating the two, but she's really fun. And I think we've talked about this a little bit, but I feel like the way that Carolyn would have been portrayed 10 years ago versus how she's being portrayed now, it's a really exciting growth. Like everyone I know who likes all different archetypes, everyone really loves Carolyn, and it's really fun to get behind that.
Well, yeah, she's great. She's like a Debbie, but Debbie didn't have this type of game knowledge. Like Carolyn comes across like she's like playing selfishly because she's getting really frustrated with everybody else, but everything she's saying makes sense. And I like that is something that we're just not used to seeing from whatever archetype Carolyn really is. So I think it's been a lot of fun. She might be near the top of my rankings because she's still the only person with a real idol, especially now that Danny just played one on Franny. What was your take on that? How do you feel about watching other people make big moves that, you know, start to make us forget a little bit more about your big
moves? Ouch. Not that anyone's forgetting, Jesse.
I'm just saying, it slowly starts to happen, right?
I'm lost to time. I did see some tweets that were like, I can't remember a time I've been that excited by a move at Tribal. I was like,
Well, I guess I'll just.
I guess I'm no longer relevant. That's fair. No, I thought it was fun. I thought it was a fun episode. Again, I think it was like the first episode where it was just, it's so cliche at this point. It's like the players got to play and, you know, with what they had, and it was fun to see. And I think, I wonder, this is, it's so early though. Like, I feel like it's still so early in the game to like make a big move like that, stick out your neck, and you got a lot of game left to play. So like it could very much, I feel like he's got a target on his back now, for sure.
The timing's really interesting, but we are we are halfway through the season in terms of people, even though it feels like we're definitely in the back half of the season. But when you frame it like that, he made this huge move halfway through the season.
Mm-hmm. Which we never see a winner make a move that early in the season, right? Never. Not time.
Phil.
Mike Gabler. Sorry, I can't help it. I just have to keep going back to Jesse's season, you know? But anyway, what do you really think? Like, has Danny screwed himself? Is he just, because were people looking at him a threat? I feel like they were already, weren't they?
I mean, I think they were, which is why, like, it wasn't him going last episode. Like, it wasn't. It was going to be Franny. And so, and if you think about it, it's like there's one option where he just lets Franny go. He makes it to the next round. He still has an idol. Who knows how it's going to go shake out of that tribal. And then he can just play it on himself when he needs it. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, on my season was different too, because we waited until six to finally let the idols fly. So we were very conscious of, like, you know, the biggest nail is the one that gets struck down first. And so.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point you bring up about, like, having the idols come up so late. I feel like out of all of the New Era seasons, including the one we're currently watching, I don't know if they sense that there isn't a knowledge is power, but your season is the only one where we see people trading their idols around, and that's not happening this season, and it wasn't happening in 41 and 42 very much.
I mean, our season, I wonder, I'm trying to remember 41 and 42, but I know our season, it was placed in the water well, and as soon as it was placed in the water well, everybody knew it was there, and so it just turned into a mad scramble. And I mean, I don't know if it was common knowledge on 41 or 42 that there was one.
Well, 41, it was common knowledge because that was the whole Xander, Liana, Tiffany, Evie situation where they were all moving it around and they had that secret scene, which was really fun. It's funny that Danny, it really seems like Danny did not mention this idol to a single human being on that island.
What a concept.
Until that moment, so yours is different though, right? So when Janine goes home, everybody just assumes it's gone, right? But Danny's, nobody even ever thought he had it. Like, nobody was talking about it's in Danny's pocket. And it was an original idol. It wasn't it got moved around, whatever. So I wonder if Danny almost played it because he messed up and told everybody he had it anyway. And now it's like, well, let me get it off my chest and then let me go try to find another one. Like, he put himself in a different position than he was in at the beginning of that episode for sure.
Yeah, I could see that because he didn't tell anybody up until, like, right, you know, planning for tribal, right? And then as soon as he tells somebody about it, suddenly people know. I could see that. Well, now I need to burn it. Like, now I need to just get rid of it. So,
yeah. But we see him looking again, and he got very close to winning individual immunity. So I think as much as he has a target on his back for this week, not to go too far ahead, I think he also will be able to bounce back because Franny is fairly indebted to him. Mm-hmm. And he has, you know, he and Heidi, I feel like, have to have a conversation because Heidi is the one who sort of started that whole conversation and they were allegedly very close. So I feel like we need to get some kind of clarity there.
Yeah. I don't know how, I don't know. I don't like when people say they're somebody should be indebted.
I don't think she should be. I don't think she should be, but I feel you hear like, she's like, that's gonna come up, you know, like they're going to be walking back from tribal and Franny's going to be like, he saved my life.
And so my question, because you had a very similar situation on your season, how does somebody like Franny now allow Danny to keep going through the game, knowing that if she sits at final three, Danny can just sit there and say, I'm the only reason she's sitting here. Like, unless she makes another move to that level, like, how does she allow that to happen? I don't see it. Maybe she has to work with him right now, but at some point she's got to say, I need Danny out of this game if I want any chance of winning.
Yeah, I think right now it feels like the story is very much Soka versus Ratu. And so maybe that's going to keep them together for at least this next round, right? This next tribal. But yeah, at some point, I think that's going to come out.
And how do you react if you're Danny, you tell Heidi, and Heidi runs over and just starts telling everybody, and it gets back to you. How are you reacting in that situation? Are you going back and working with Heidi, or are you not working with her anymore?
Oh, the fact that, sorry, I'm trying to fix my computer. It's, something's
you're
going good. On.
You're a little delayed.
Yeah, you're a little glitch. That's all right, though.
Okay. Am I back yet?
You are.
You are.
Okay, cool. Sorry, what was the question?
So if you're Danny, you tell who you think is a close ally, I have an idol. And now everybody's coming back to you. Carson comes back to you, who's clearly not a part of that alliance. How are you working with Heidi moving forward? Have you lost all trust with Heidi moving forward? What are you thinking with that?
Yeah, I think that is, that's tough. I don't think if I wouldn't have told anybody. Yeah. that's the hard part for me to relate to is that I was very much like, I am not going to tell anybody information that I don't feel. I made a commitment not to tell anybody about my idols. And so, yeah, I would be pretty upset if I finally did decide to tell somebody and then I get back. I hear back that, like, oh, not only does Carson know, but Jam Jam knows. Mm-hmm. And, you know, who else possibly knows? So I think that is, I could see it being, I'd have a hard time working with Heidi after that, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And now we're coming into this Soka versus Ratu, and we've just said everybody on Soka should not work together. So I think this is setting up a fun final nine. Like, this is setting up a fun end game of Soka feels like the people we know better than Ratu. For sure. I mean, Lauren with the broom was the meme for the first 7 episodes of this season. But it feels like Soka should be attacking each other now. Although, after everything that happened last week, Danny still put his idol for Franny, kept her alive, and maybe they're just tight. I don't know. I'm having a hard time with my rankings this week, and I'm trying to get to the bottom of where I should put people because, as everybody knows now, I don't prep. And I'm having a hard time with if Soka or Ratu is going to come out on top. I remember the names.
Jesse's never listened to this podcast. Can you explain, Phil, how what your reasoning is, or just how you?
Okay, I haven't listened
prep for these things.
Been hard to listen to recently. All right.
I mean, even on your season, I think I just would go into it knowing, like, okay, Gabler's number one because he's such an obvious winner. Who do I put at two? You know, that's where I would always go. But with this, I mean, I like to hear the conversation at the beginning because what would happen is we'd come into this, I'd have my top 10, I'd have them in order, and then we'd have this conversation, and I'd go, man, I should probably put that person at 4, huh? Like, I shouldn't have them at number 9. And
no, now I'm looking at my ranking and I'm a little bit worried because we just had this conversation about Heidi, and now I'm like,
Alexa feels good about her, so she's just going to start ripping through. But
nothing's changing.
Nothing's changing. Yeah, I have notes on random things here. I don't have, you know, anything with Survivor players written down. But yeah, I'm curious with these groups of 3. What's funny is I think we all feel that Tika's going to be okay. It's Ratu versus Soka, and Tika's chilling.
100%.
So that makes it even crazier because, like, who does Tika have a better chance against? It's Ratu, I would think. And it seems like they're closer with Ratu. Carson has that Kane connection. But then I'm like, Lauren has, like, 12 confessionals. Like, what's going on here? Like, I don't know. I'm a big confessional watcher, so I'm having a hard time. Jesse, you've played. What's going through your head after watching back an entire edit for a season that you actually know what happened on? Like, are you thinking the same way I am, or are you somewhere else?
I am thinking about the edit a lot, and I try not to because I just try and enjoy what's happening and not think about, like, the story they're trying to tell. But, yeah, I mean, Lauren hasn't been getting anything. I feel like I don't want to, like, spoil who my first person is, like, you know, who I think is the safest. But, like, I think that if it was going to be someone like Carolyn, we would get a little bit more setup. Like, the previews would sort of, like, show something more because Carolyn has been so, like, critical and so out front in terms of, like, the edit and the story. Whereas Lauren, she won immunity and then they didn't even really give her a confessional, like, right after, I feel like.
And you even hear she's like, I won this for my kids and my students. And it's like, okay, it's like they were rushing that out. And I was like, wait, Lauren has kids? Like, tell us more. I know. That was disappointing. But I'm happy. I hope she can relish in that win because that was a really good one.
It is crazy, though, like, how much edits are just dependent on, like, what they want you to kind of do, because Jesse, like, we knew your kids like the back of our hand by the end of this. Like, it was such a focal point of your arc. And for Lauren, they're just like not making it a point of her arc. I had the same reaction when Alexa said that. I was like, wait, Lauren has kids? I had no idea Lauren had kids. And like, I don't know if they're like, they don't want that to be like her character, but I'm struggling. Like, why not? Like, why not have that be a really emotional thing?
Yeah. I think she has to have given confessionals and stuff about it for sure.
I think it was big in her preseason content too. She talked about, I think, like being a single mother and you know, how that will impact your game. And that I feel like could be really interesting to hear. But can't get everything.
Crazy for that. all right, Jesse. Well, we'll let you go first then. Who do you put at number one, since you just told us who you put at number one?
I didn't say who I put at number one. You know, yeah, I expect the unexpected here, all right? Yeah. I may be a Carolyn stan, and you might expect me to put Carolyn as my number one, and you would be right.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Great night. Have a good one.
Yeah, see you guys.
Same.
I mean, it's across the board. She's the only one with a real idol. So we all have Carolyn at number one. And I got to be honest, I think if you're playing our power ranking game this year, you're crazy if you don't put Carolyn at number one this week. But Jesse, give me something other than the idol that makes her such a surefire number one this week.
Other than the idol and like what I said about the edit, I think she's such a critical part. Yeah. And I think that like, if people want to take a shot at Tika, like if they decide this week, let's set aside our Ratu Soka differences and let's take a shot at Tika. I think you're probably going to go, I don't know. Like, I think you're going to go for Jam Jam has been out there like multiple times, like in terms of his name. And once somebody's name has been out there, you're going to, it's easy to throw it out again. And because of the fact, like Alexa, like you said, like she is being so underestimated, people aren't, you know, taking her seriously at this point. So
do we think that her idol is actually private, or do we think she's maybe told Jam Jam and we don't know that? It feels like it's private, and I really hope it is.
Yeah, but I hope it is too. It seems like that, but it's so hard to tell because like just how they, like, based on my own experience, like there were things that were said about idols that like just didn't get shown on my season. And like there were points in the game where we knew someone had an idol that, you know, it didn't appear that way on TV. Mm-hmm. So, and you get that from exit press too. And so
I feel like just the personality Carolyn has, I find it hard to believe she hasn't told Jam Jam or Carson. Now, if she told Carson, everybody on planet Earth would have known already. So, like, I think maybe she told Jam Jam, but I just feel like Carolyn, I don't think, is somebody who's sitting there going, I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm not going to. But then again, I could be very wrong. And she could be like a stubborn mentality of, if I say I'm not going to tell anyone, I am literally under no circumstance going to tell anyone. So I guess it could go either way, but I feel like she had to have told Jam Jam by now.
We'll find out soon.
I'm going to tweet at her publicly and see if she'll respond.
That'll do it.
That'll do it. And I want to know right now. Tell her she's got like 20 minutes to answer. Like,
hold the screen up. Look, tell her she's on the clock.
Yeah.
Come on.
Carolyn, stop everything you're doing.
I love it though. I think Carolyn's been a lot of fun. And like, you know, Jesse, we talk about it now because with Gabler, he had a confessional in every episode, even when it didn't feel like he needed to. Right now, the only people to confessional in every episode are Carolyn, Jam Jam, Carson, and Franny. Those are the last four people left. And I will be honest, Carolyn's probably getting it more from a fun standpoint. But I think one of those four people is your winner of this season. I think that's what the editors have started to do. They started to make it about that. And I think towards the end of your season, it was like Gabler, Carla, and you. And that's when it was like, okay, well, it's not going to be Cody. Cass had an episode or two where she didn't have it. No one had an episode or two. So like, it just like it had to be one of those three. It seems like that is where they're starting to go with this. And man, I've been writing off a Carolyn win since the beginning. I refuse to see it, but you know, every week we get a little bit closer and I'm like, oh shit.
It's happening.
All right. So put your girlfriend aside here. Who do you have at number two? Who do you got as your second safest?
This is the one where I'm wondering, like, yeah, I'm wondering if I doubt you all have the same thing as me. I'm wondering. Let's see.
Try us.
I have Jamie.
Yeah, I don't have that.
Well,
no, no.
He has been listening because we have not been. I am concerned for Jamie's stance currently. But I love that. So, tell us about Jamie.
So for me, I think there's two things. Like, I have two things like written down about her. I think that, and it's unclear because like I don't feel like we've been getting confessionals from people about Jamie. We've been getting confessionals from Jamie about how people should see her and how they're not seeing her. And so that to me is sort of implying that she's not being viewed as a major target or a major threat. At least that's what I'm taking away from it. But I also think that she has an idol that she thinks is real, which we know is fake. But if she tells anybody she has an idol, or if anybody suspects that she has an idol, I don't think they want to go through what they went through at this last tribal. So if word gets out that she has an idol, which we know is fake, I think they're going to not want to target her at this moment. I think that that will divert, you know, people's attention away from her, because they just went through a whole tribal where like an idol upended their, you know, whole game. And so I think that that's something that they're going to want to avoid.
That's a good point. I didn't really think about how you don't want to have back-to-back idol tribals if you can avoid it. So if you're scared of that, like you just witnessed it take down a member of the majority alliance, which I still think Jam Jam, Carolyn, and Carson came up with a plan there, but it looks like it took down a member of the majority alliance. So you're trying to avoid that. My biggest concern is with Jamie. Is Jamie easily gettable? Like Carolyn, I always feel like if her name comes up enough, she's going to be so paranoid. There's no way she's holding on to that idol. But Jamie, I worry based on what you just said, where she's telling, this is how people should view me. This is how people should view me. Would she maybe be like, I told somebody I had an idol, but I don't think they're going to vote me out this week anyway, because she just doesn't have her finger on the pulse the way we have not been made to believe that she has her finger on the pulse. Every time she's had one of those magic wand confessionals, it has felt more like winking at us than winking with her.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, I don't know. I think that if she hears her name, so like you're saying, if Carolyn hears her name, she's going to like, you know, do something about it. Right. I think that if Jamie hears her name, she's probably going to just throw out the fact that she has an idol. Like, I think that she's the type that, and this is something that came out in the exit press from first episode, was that like Jamie actually did have her finger on that, on the pulse of what was going on. Right. So like, we all thought like, why is she playing her shot in the dark? Apparently she had good cause. Right.
Yeah.
And so she is the type of person that if she hears her name and she feels like some sort of pressure, she might do something like, hey, pull out the idol at tribal and say like, nobody's going to, you better not vote for me. Like, yeah. And I think, again, I think they're going to try and avoid any sort of chaotic outcome for this tribal just because of what they went through last one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see who you're going to have as, well, obviously get there, but I'm curious to see who you're going to have as that easy vote this week. So that'll be fun when we actually get down to it. But Alexa, who do you have it to?
I have Jam Jam at number two, and not to go too far, but I have Carson at number three. I really think this Tika group is the decision. They were the decision maker of last week. And I think they're in a perfect position where both other tribes believe that they're still with them. So they can probably find a way to continue to be in that position again for this next vote. Or they'll have to pick a side. But I think regardless, those two, Ratu and Soka, they are very like hard-lined against each other. I don't see a situation in which they'll work together. Though we did get a Carson confessional that says the Three Stooges are running things, which is such a kiss of death. But I actually think the three of them are running things. So I think the three of them are completely safe. I think Jam Jam's name has come up enough, but maybe it's one of those things where it's come up so many times and then it didn't come up last week. So now the tide has sort of passed. And Carson, unfortunately for him, he probably had the worst experience of his life for those 18 hours, but that probably made him seem a little weaker. And for someone who's been really good at puzzles and been like under the radar in his game, I think being the like sick young person is actually going to be a really good position for him this go around. I feel horrible for him, but I don't know if it gets him a step farther. Was it worth it? Possibly.
He was only puking too. He didn't have the Stephen Fishbach of just like everything coming out of your body.
I mean, you don't know that.
Oh, that's true. Well, we didn't get to hear about it. Come on, if somebody's going to do it, which yeah,
that was
which,
very tasteful of Carson to not tell us.
Yeah, wait, hold on. So, Jesse,
Thank you, Carson.
I forgot to bring this up beforehand, since you're a very mature father of two. What did you think of the fart last week? That was pretty good, right?
Speaking of that,
that was hilarious. I honestly was like, I love Lauren, so like I'm like, I don't wish anything bad, but like I thought it would have been hilarious if like Lauren dropped because of that. That would have been so good. Like
just blows her off.
He wins immunity because he got like the person next to him to laugh. Like that would have been so good.
Did she laugh? I need to rewatch that.
I think she was more shocked that the man next to her just let go a loud, like that was a loud fart.
It's crazy. That was wild.
Yeah. Big fan. Anyway, I just had huge fan. Jesse, if you want to watch any podcast, just watch last week's where I could not stop laughing just talking about the fart.
Oh, well, I think I saw it. You are you went to YouTube and started YouTube.
Yeah, Nyanko's fart. Exactly. Yeah.
That took such a turn.
I'm very simple here. I'm a big 90s humor guy. But Alexa, I do also have Jam Jam at 2 and Carson at 3. I think after this week, they look so good because they voted with Ratu, but if they want to work with Sokka, they still can because Sokka doesn't have a choice. Sokka can't go to Ratu. And I think that's what made this move so good for them. Jam Jam said, I want to go back and forth. Well, they just voted for Sokka, but Aratu went home. I really think that was purposeful. Because Jam Jam knew that Danny had an idol. Carson knew that Danny had an idol. They very well knew it was going to be played for Franny. I think it was purposeful. And now, this week, they can vote with Ratu again and vote out one of the Sokka people. And then next week say, we're with you, Sokka. Let's vote out a Ratu. Because Ratu will never see it coming. But I honestly don't think that there's ever a situation this week where there's enough numbers to take out one of the Tikas, because you'd have to have the other six come together at least partially. And if they don't all come together, then Lauren has to at least be part of the group that is voting that way. So I don't see it. I don't see any of them going. So I just have the Three Stooges as my top three.
Great name. Love the Three Stooges.
Yeah. I have Jam Jam as my number three as well. And you're going to make me move my,
don't move. No, own it.
No, I don't have a way to own it anymore. All right, fine. I'll leave it and then I'll just run with it. I'm going to just try and come up with reasons on the spot. So my third was Jam Jam as well. And I think just like he's at this point now where he's taken himself out of the spotlight. He had a lot of heat on him and he stayed on everyone's good side when he did have the heat on him. And I think what's funny is like when he had that pressure on him for those, like, what was it, like two tribals in a row? Like there were a couple tribals in a row where he had heat. Yeah. I think what's funny is that he came out of that with, I think, good relationships. And so he was able to work his way out. The only downside I have to Jam Jam is that his name's been out there and it's easy to throw back out there as an easy vote. If you guys don't want to get into a chaotic tribal, let's just, you know, throw Jam Jam out there again. Mm-hmm. So that's who I have as my number three. My number four.
Let's hear it. I can't wait.
My OG four or like the one that I was gonna bump up.
I want the OG because I want to hear what the thinking is.
I don't know if I have.
I feel that every single week.
I had Heidi. I had Heidi here.
Okay.
But the downside though is like what we've already said is that she slipped up with info and it got back to Danny and he didn't seem very happy about it, right? Like she told Jam Jam and Carson info that wasn't really hers. She acknowledged that. I think the positives is that she seems to have like working relationships with people and, you know, Carson and Jam Jam seem to appreciate getting that info. And I just don't see, I don't know. Like I'm having a hard time imagining her going.
I think that's a good point. I was waiting for the vote to turn on her, and it her name never even came up. So I think there is a lot to be said about the fact that she can give information like that and be totally fine.
Jesse has already said two of my bottom three. So like, I'm just saying, I'm just going to throw, like, I'm not going to do the nicest thing. Like, I'm going to be your Ryan and just be like enough with the niceness. I've already got, you've already said two of my bottom three. But then again, I've been wrong. So I was on the Brandon train going home for like three straight weeks. And I said, you know what? It keeps surviving. So last week I said, it's not going to be Brandon. And then Brandon went home. So I'm off this season. I'm not as good this season as I was during 43, where I was just, you know, on it every week. But I mean, I like Heidi. I think that's the weird thing is like, we haven't gotten a lot from Heidi, but every time she talks, I'm like, damn, she just knows what's going on. She knows what she has to do. And I think last week was really her first blunder. And I think that blunder was telling people about the idol. Now, if we get a confessional at the beginning of this next episode of, because they knew about Danny's idol, we could trick Ratu. Danny played his idol for Franny. We all knew it was coming, but they didn't see it happening. And that's how we wanted to get rid of Brandon, just in case that one idol was actually real and he was claiming it was fake, blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden now I'm like, that's pretty brilliant. Like, good for you. But right now I feel like that's probably the first time she's slipped up. I've just seen so little of her compared to Danny and Franny that I have a hard time seeing her outlasting Danny and Franny right now, who are two of the bigger personalities on this season. But I'd like to say, I mean, Heidi to me would feel like a well-edited female winner, even though she hasn't gotten a huge edit, because I do feel like everything she said has been like, wow, she's on the money with what's going on in this episode.
Mm-hmm. I'm in the middle of you guys. I think Heidi's okay. I won't go to where she, I won't go to the number I have her, but she's definitely not in my bottom half. So, well, maybe.
So who's your four then, Alexa?
There's only nine people. So I guess that was an incorrect statement to make. I actually have Franny at number four. I think what we've talked about, whether or not someone owes anyone anything, she was the one who is going to go home and is not home because of Danny. And we see Danny going around relooking for his idol. He did very well in the immunity challenge. I think Danny is going to get a lot of the attention of the three Sokas. And Franny can sort of lay back and be like, oh, I'm so happy I'm here, and sort of downplay herself a little bit. I think a lot of the attention can very easily go to Danny, or that they can eat themselves and go to Heidi. I really think Franny's going to be okay.
I actually have Danny in this spot. So we all have a Soka. We all just have a different Soka as our highest Soka, which is fun. Which I think kind of speaks to where we're at here. So Danny's move last week was obviously a big one. It was in front of the jury. Everybody saw it. He played an idol, did that. I think the thing is, we got a Ben Driebergen on our hands here, where I just think he's going to keep finding the idol. We see that in the preview of like, he's looking, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I also, while I think Danny is a big threat to Franny, and while this is a big move, you are going to have so many opportunities to get rid of Danny. Like, he's not some godlike challenge beast. He's good, but there's other people who can beat him. Carson's definitely better at puzzles than Danny. When it comes to physical, Danny might be the strongest one out there, but how often are we really seeing like brute force strength at this point? And I don't know. I just think like this creates him as a shield for people. If you want to say, no, Danny's a bigger threat than me, keep him around as long as you can, because then when you get down to final five, you have to get rid of Danny or Danny's going to beat you.
Yeah, I think that's one of the positive things I noted about Danny was that, like, yeah, he has, and he's the bottom of my list, somewhere around the bottom. I won't say where yet, but I think that, like, you can view him as a shield at this point. Like, just let's keep building him up. Let's keep giving him, like, these moves. He's going to keep trying to make moves, so let's keep building him up, and then we can take him out later, and he'll be a target for later. I'm just waiting for the confessional, because you said he's not as good as Carson on the puzzles. I'm just waiting for the confessional where he's like, surprise, I have a 3D printer at home as well.
We all 3D printed this puzzle.
What do you think about the puzzles being that they're being repeated so much?
I think it is what it is. I think Survivor's trying to, I just look at it from like a logistical perspective at this point. Like, they're not leaving Fiji because they have the contract. Everything's in place there. It's easy for them to just pull out these puzzles. I think it's kind of lazy, but, you know, I think it's, you know, why increase costs by trying to, if you're still going to, they're still getting the same viewership.
Just got to cut three other pieces of wood here. I'm just,
you know. It's a bummer. I think it's a bummer for sure, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. But,
yeah. Phil, I want you to make a puzzle.
I will. I mean,
you're going to make your own?
I could. I mean,
Phil's going to 3D print a puzzle and ship it to Fiji.
The funny thing is, like, I have like two friends who I could call right now and say, by the end of tonight, I need a puzzle created and I need a puzzle made. And it would be done. And that's what I think is weird is like, that could happen in like an hour. It's just like, what do you have the resources of? So I don't know. I think like puzzles really are just like wooden blocks, right? Get me a big wooden block and just create a different jigsaw. That's really all it comes down to. I know the art department puts in a lot of work. I mean, I know how much the art department works. The freaking season 39 tribal council set at the finale was absolutely absurd. So like, I don't want to take away from the art department. I'm going to take away from the challenge department. Like, just make it a little bit different.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Jesse, who do you have smack in the middle? Who's your number five?
This is Carson.
Okay.
Speaking of 3D printers.
Yeah.
Carson is right there in the middle for me. I think that we constantly hear how Carson is in the middle of all of these intertwining relationships. Carson's constantly telling us how he feels like he's in the middle, which is great. I think that's a great place to be. That's how I felt when I was out there. But one thing like I've noticed just based on the episodes is that he has this tendency to kind of like Heidi did last week, slip up with info to his allies. Mm. And we've seen it like sort of go sideways both times. Mm-hmm. You know, he told Danny last week and Danny reacted negatively. It didn't amount to anything, but then we also saw when he told Kane and then he was like apologizing for telling Kane. I think the fact that he's giving out that info and it's leading to these things could expose him. I feel like that's something that happened with Sammy on my season was suddenly he did something where I just like realized, oh my God, like Sammy is really well connected.
Mm-hmm.
And given they're trying to play the middle, if Carson sort of exposes himself, to me, that's like a threat. And yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think Carson, the way Danny reacted to what Carson said was kind of like Danny almost being like, wait, I trusted Heidi and now I don't think I can trust her anymore. I trusted Carson. Now I'm not even sure I can trust Carson anymore because how long has he been sitting on this information? And I know things are happening quickly. I think Dalton Ross had put out a tweet that like all of these last three boots have been in consecutive days, which is always wild as somebody who's watching Survivor since I was an infant, like to think about. But I just think like Carson, I feel like Carson is one of those players right now who so badly wants to make a big move that I think he is going to make a big move when he doesn't need to. And I almost feel like because he has a lot of information, he thinks that's going to be easier for him, but he's going to start talking to too many people and they're going to be like, Carson's coming for us all. Like, let's make it happen. Now, I don't think that's going to happen this week, but I do think that it will be his downfall. Like, I don't think Carson sits in final three, even though I just said like, one of the three, Tika or Franny, is probably going to win the game. I don't think Carson actually sits in final three. I think Carson just misses out on that.
He loses fire making.
I think he gets fifth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think he's going to get fifth.
Yeah, Phil, I mean, we have a guest here. You can't just talk about that stuff.
I know. Oh, you're the one that brought up fire making.
Yeah, sorry. I know.
I'm trying to blame Phil for something I said.
Yeah, I know. You did that right here. I mean, Jesse, we'll give you a moment here.
Yeah. Anyways, while Jesse's recovering from that sick burn, one of the funniest things that has come out of the past 18 hours is Carson having two Twitter accounts. Zach is like posing as Carson. And it's the funniest thing I've ever seen. It's unbelievable. The two of them are like, there's like double Carson on my feed. And it's a lot of facts that I didn't know about space and maybe some false facts that I did know about space. And it's just really great. I think what the two of them are doing for the community is very beautiful.
I,
I very much appreciate Elon Musk removing the blue check mark just for this. This is what we wanted. And Elon Musk is just a huge Survivor fan, clearly, because this is what he was going for. But no, I'm appreciating this.
Unbelievable.
We always have to keep giving Zach our you know, commendations, because while he clearly wasn't the best at Survivor, he is very good at Twitter. He is really, really good at it. A lot of people get mad on Twitter. A lot of people think they're funnier than they are on Twitter. Zach is just really good at Twitter. So,
yeah. This is like second only to Zach's Twitter poll of, are there, I can't even say this without like laughing and wanting to cry, are there more idols or women left in this season? Which is unbelievably funny and also just so much. So thank you, Zach. And Carson, I don't know if you asked for this, Carson, but you're in it.
He probably did it.
What's going on?
When his boss comes to him with a tweet that says something about flat earth.
Yeah. He's so going to
be very upset.
Yeah.
Anyways, Jesse, I hope you're feeling better.
We're good now.
Speaking of fire making, though, who's better, Gabler or Fairplay?
What?
Oh, you know what? I'm going to just have to say Gabler, and I'm going to redeem myself when I go up against Fairplay and fire making.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah, did Fairplay like give himself like gasoline covered wood to cheat? Because that, I mean, that seems like what Fairplay would do.
Well, if he does, I'm going to have a bottle of water ready. So
there you go. Perfect. I love it. When are you doing that again? When are you trying to redeem yourself?
May 3rd, I am going to be trying to redeem myself when my beer comes out with Fairplay and Sandra, which is absolutely wild
crazy
to even say.
Cool. Mm-hmm. We'll so have to order weird. Some
yeah. Is that going to be present at said finale party? I sure hope so. Probably not, because I don't think Fairplay's going to be there. But I want it. Anyway, that's fun.
Send some over.
Look at you getting in there with Johnny Fairplay, getting in good, making fire inside, I hope. Anyway, that's all I can think about. I'm like, because I went to one of the Fairplay events and he did it in a back room. And I'm like, would he have been allowed to make fire in a back room in a bar in Los Angeles? Or would he have burned the place down and started like a serious situation in LA? So that's all I can think about. I hope you're outside.
Yeah, I hope so too. We're going to find out.
We're going to find out. All right. Alexa, who's your number five?
Smack dab in the middle, and some would say not in the back half of my power rankings, is Heidi. I'm kind of right in the middle of you two. This remains my number. This was my number five before I started talking to you two, and it stays the same. I think there's a lot to be said about the fact that Heidi did not have her name come up even remotely after blowing this info. And some could say like she blew it, but others could say it totally worked out for her, because she made Jam Jam get a vote on him last week and completely turned the tides. I don't think there was ever going to be like animosity there, but I can't imagine that ever feels good. Completely turned the tides. And I think the two of them have a really good working relationship right now. I also think out of the three Sokas, Danny has a big target on his back and Franny's name has already come up once. And I think Heidi's just in a really good position. The reason I don't have her super high is because I probably know the least about her out of the other four people I've mentioned, but I feel pretty good about her.
Yeah, I have her a little bit. Cool. I have her the lowest out of everybody, because I'm not there yet. I'm still worried for her. At my number five, I have Franny. You know, Alexa, you already talked about her. Jesse's got her in his bottom four, so we'll have to get there in a sec. But I think Franny last week dodged a bullet that I think she knew was coming, which is really weird. Like, I still think Franny and Danny and everybody like knew this was going to happen. And I'm going to be a conspiracy theorist on this until I'm told not to be, but I really think they knew this was coming. Other than that though, like now, especially like we were just talking about how Danny now becomes a shield. Franny is toothless for the next 2 weeks. At least she's been saved by an idol. She lost her tightest ally. What does Franny have on her resume right now that makes you say, man, I want to get rid of Franny? Especially if you're on Ratu, you got to be saying, okay, should we get rid of Heidi or should we get rid of Danny? I don't think Franny's your number one choice there. And if you're one of the Tikas, you're like, we can worry about Franny later. Like, we can worry about Franny later. We can worry about Franny later. I think that she's still okay, which is why I put her here at five. But, you know, I still think like, between her and Danny, I wanted to just mix it up a little so me and Alexa didn't have the same exact top nine. But I just think like Danny's a good shield. Franny is toothless. That's why I think if you're going to vote out Ahsoka this week, I think it's going to be Heidi.
That's fair. I don't know if she's toothless. I don't know if she's toothless, though.
She has a guaranteed vote for her at the final tribal council. She has one solid gold vote for her, and that's pretty scary.
But yeah. I think it's just for like the next week. If they're voting out every day, like the next day, you're not sitting there going, man, Franny, what she just did, we got to get her out of this game. Like Franny has taken two shots here. Like Franny was a favorite to win the Super Bowl, and she just lost two games to two really bad teams. Like that's where I feel like Franny is right now. So you're like, is she legit? Can she do it? I think they're going to give her a couple days to be like, let's worry about somebody else other than Fran.
Mm-hmm. All right, back half now.
Yeah, Jesse disagrees. So who do you have at six, Jesse?
I wish it was Franny so that I could naturally transition into this.
Alas.
But it's not.
You win some, you lose some.
Yeah, you know, my next one is Lauren. And I was actually going to put Lauren higher up because I feel like her closest ally is gone, which I feel like, you know, her closest ally is gone. We don't need to, like, take a shot at her. Makes her less of a threat. I think you want to move on at that point and break up some other allies. But, and maybe I'm wrong on this, which is going to change my thinking. She still has her extra vote, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think the lower you get down in numbers, the more important that extra vote gets. And I feel like you probably, if it's the Soka versus Ratu thing, that makes her like a pretty prime target. So
yeah,
that's why she's on my list there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree. Mm-hmm. It's hard. It's just hard. It's hard right now. It's hard right now with the Soka or Ratu win. Like
the way you said it, you're just like, it was so deep.
Well, because I'm getting frustrated.
Life is hard, man.
I'm sitting here thinking things are working really well, like in my power rankings. And then Jesse says something and I'm like, all right, maybe I've been wrong the whole time. I'm just really good at convincing myself of things. But I'm realizing that I'm not right.
Who isn't?
Yeah.
I'm going to bring up someone for the first time on this podcast. I have Kane at number six, which is probably pretty high for somebody who is idol-less and like mildly ally-less. But I think there's a dotted line between Kane and Carson. And in this next time on Survivor, we see Kane saying something along the lines of, I had no idea what I was doing. I'm awake. I'm ready to go. I can see him saying, I don't want to be a part of this Ratu sinking ship anymore. Let me jump over and do what Carson's doing, or just try to mix up the game a little bit. I also think out of the remaining Ratus, Lauren has a very public extra vote. There are rumors of Jamie having an idol. I think people might say, you know what? We don't need to worry about Kane because there's a lot of other like toys out there.
Yeah, I actually have Kane in the same spot. I thought I was going to put Kane lower when I was coming into this. And then as I started thinking about like, what are reasons, I don't think Jesse has said Kane's name yet, which mm-hmm. I think kind of makes you feel like, okay, where does Kane fit in all of this? And if mm-hmm. we're talking about, okay, how is Danny going to react to Heidi? What does Franny do? What happens with Lauren who has the extra vote? What about Jamie with her fake idol? But Kane never comes up. And maybe Kane is who Jesse is thinking is the simple boot. And I don't want to spoil Jesse's own thing here, maybe. But it would make sense if he's a simple boot. But I don't necessarily think he makes sense this week. And if you think about everybody on Ratu, the closest person on Ratu or Soka with anybody on Tika is Kane. Because he's really tight with Carson. So nobody on Soka has a relationship like what Carson and Kane have with somebody on Tika, and Lauren and Jamie don't have that. I think that works in Kane's favor. And I think Kane is going to go pretty unceremoniously when he does eventually get voted out of the game. But I thought I was going to put him at like 8 or 9. And then I was like, no, nah, I'm thinking actually Brandon going home might've been good for his game. I don't think it was that bad.
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't know who Kane is. I thought his name was Matt.
There you go. Why?
Nailed it. Nailed it. So,
that's why I haven't said his name. That was wild. I was like, all right, Matt. That's a bummer. I'm gonna hold off on Kane. I'm gonna hold off on commenting on Kane.
Okay.
She was my next one as well. What are we at? Seven? Yeah, seven.
Yeah, right? Seven.
At seven. It's Franny. And then my notes are, you know, her name is out there. You know the numbers are there if you really want them. The only reason she wasn't there is because of an idol play. Only reason she's still here is because of an idol play. You got that jury vote in Matt that when you're going to tribal, you see them like making googly eyes at each other. So, you know, she can win a challenge, right? Like she won immunity. She not only won immunity, but won like the whole thing when she did. She won the reward part of things. So, you know, she's competitive in that sense. And you know, people are willing to go to bat for her. So, in a sense, I don't think she's as toothless as you're saying, though.
I think that's fair. I mean, Franny is definitely like if somebody not on Tika is going to win, I think it is so far and away Franny at this point. Like, I just think like she's the only one. Like Danny makes a little bit of sense, and maybe Heidi, but I feel like Franny like really makes sense. So, like, I think I'm not disagreeing. I just think like this week, I just have a hard time being like, yeah, let's get rid of Franny this week. Like I just don't feel it, but she is dangerous. I mean, if you let her get too far, you've made a mistake. And then all of a sudden she's going to accidentally win the game and nobody's going to have seen it coming.
Maybe everyone's just being really nice and they want to vote her out so that she can hang out with Matt.
That's why I was hoping they would have just let her go last week so that her and Matt could just have Ponderosa and have a great time.
Give
and
then the not people what they want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then CBS would have to Brandon's bring there. Back Ponderosa and we'd all get to watch Ponderosa and it would be awesome. And no, instead.
Play the long game. Brandon and Matt are doing whatever.
Yeah, I know. They're probably playing like cards or something. Just who knows? Did they ever talk on the season? Like, that's got to be a very boring pairing right now, right? Poor guys.
Yeah, no. They didn't even do after the snuff, right? Like, they didn't even do like the little Instagram video for them.
No. I don't think so. No. Alexa, who's your seven?
I have Danny at seven, which is pretty low, but it's always hard to guess who's going to win individual immunity. I think he very well could. So we saw him running around, like getting the idol really, really early on, but that was sort of before people noticed. And the week that Matt went home, people were already talking about the fact that, oh, Danny had an idol. He was being a little sneaky with it. Maybe he gave Matt this fake one. And then he plays this idol and has this big move. He almost wins immunity. I think his name is going to be very, very high up. And this could be the situation where Tika could flip, vote with Ratu, and then go backwards. Flip and vote with Sokka, but I don't know. He made a big move and now he's running around looking for an idol. That's just going to be intimidating for people at this point in the game.
Jesse,
but I don't think he'll actually go home realistically.
Yeah, but you guys all, like you said, you kept your idols close to the chest. You were like throwing them around. Everybody had them behind each other's backs. They were passing hands. How much of a concern is it when somebody goes off nowadays? Because I feel like everybody's just going off because we're seeing that Danny's going to go and we know we're going to have that confessional of, oh, he's looking for an idol. He already found one. But how much of a concern do you really think that is immediately following this type of episode?
I mean, it's weird because, I mean, I'm trying to think like on Vessi, we didn't really like, we did kind of go off a little bit, but for the most part, like, we have like a collective, like, let's all go look for an idol day. And so it wasn't like anything like secretive and we all kind of knew. I think it was just sort of assumed that that's what you do on Survivor. And then post-merge, like, I don't feel like anybody really like, I mean, we were clearly looking, but like, it wasn't like everybody was like, oh, where's this person at? Like, it wasn't, and it might just be because our season was a little bit different. Like, we didn't like there weren't that many advantages played until the back end. So I didn't play on a season where like idols were flying at tribal. So it's hard for me to relate a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really curious. Cause like Alexa, you're right. Like putting Danny where you did, like, I do agree with what you're saying. And Jesse hasn't said Danny yet. Like Danny and Kane are his last. And I'm like, maybe that is going to have more of an impact, but I feel like we see this storyline so much and very rarely does it actually pan out where that person's going home, at least in this new era of Survivor. Totally. So I don't know. And Danny, Danny has gotten a really good edit, man. I mean, that fart, I'm like, he has to win. He can't not win.
He must. I think I also, I don't say this a lot, but I talk about it a lot, but I don't like doing my power rankings based on edit. It's not like exciting for me. And it kind of just like makes it less of a game for me. So I try to think about like, if I'm my mom right now, how would she power rank this? So thanks, mom.
See, but I'm always like,
she thinks Danny's in trouble.
I'm better than my parents. So when they say Danny's in trouble, I'm like, put him at number three. Cause I'm just better than you guys. So like, what am I going to do? But at seven, I have Heidi. So I finally put Heidi in. I don't know. Like I do feel like I'm probably being too hard on Heidi, but I do think that I still think it's a big mess. Like it's hard to get that trust back. And especially with how short the intervals between vote outs are, she's not going to get a full 3 days to sit down and be like, Danny, we're good. Like, let's hang out. It's fine. Whatever. And like she does, it's like in the old days, you used to have a reward challenge that you could go on. And if you both didn't go on the reward challenge, well, then you could bond over the fact that you didn't go on a reward challenge. And that would bring people kind of back from the dead a little bit. I always think, I mean, I watched Palau not too long ago. I think of Ian and Katie with that one where like Ian didn't take Katie on the reward and like she was going to murder him on the beach. Like, I just think that there's not enough time. And if this was a bigger deal, like if Heidi, even if it worked out in everybody's favor where she told and that made everybody be able to make this move happen. But if Danny's really like, man, she told people about my idol and made me have to use it, especially if he gets another idol, maybe I'm being too short-sighted, but like she could definitely be a target. If she's not a number, get rid of it. So,
yeah, I wonder if I think it's really going to depend on follow-up. I think like opening confessionals, right? Like if Danny says anything about this, right? Like if he's seen, like get insight into what Danny's thinking about this, because he might not have taken, I mean, he took it obviously to heart as soon as he found out, but I wonder if like, you know, he just kind of bounced back and brushed over it and still thinks like Soka needs to stick together, right?
Which he does feel kind of like that type of guy, right? Based on what we've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's also sort of what New Era Survivor seems to be like. Like, it's not a personal affront to have that information go out. It's much more free-flowing when it comes to advantages and idols being public.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I agree. All right, I'll kill mine, and we'll let you do yours last, since, like, you know, you're the guest. We'll let you go first and then also go last. So I'll knock mine out very quickly, and I'm going to put Lauren at eight. And I'm just going to put Jamie at nine and just like keep putting her at the bottom now, because after what happened with Brandon, like I'm pissed that I didn't just keep him in the last spot. Now this week, I'm like, well, maybe it won't be Jamie. I honestly, I probably should put Lauren at nine and Jamie at eight, but I do think we're going to see a Ratu go home this week because there's nine people left in the game. There are three Ratus. But Lauren having that extra vote makes it so that if you vote out one of the Soka members, you might look like you have a 5-4 or 5-3 advantage. But if Lauren is able to convince one person to come to her side with that extra vote, now they have a 5-4 advantage. So I think if you're Tika, you have to get rid of one of the Ratu people this week, which is why I had all three of them from six, eight, and nine. Like, three of my bottom four spots are the Ratu people. I think that they're in a lot of trouble. I think it makes sense. Lauren's extra vote is probably the most powerful thing left in this game. So maybe it should be her, but I'm putting Jamie at nine. Much like Jesse going, I don't know why I put Heidi at four. That's why I have Jamie at nine.
I have the opposite. I have Jamie at eight and Lauren at nine. And Jesse, you convinced me to move Jamie a whole point up. I think Lauren like you said, Phil, Lauren has a very confirmed advantage and Jamie has rumors of an idol. And also I feel like I say this every week, but the closer and closer they get to the end, Lauren's extra vote does become more powerful. So this could, especially now where it's a 3-3-3 split. So I think between that and Lauren winning immunity, people always are going to, I think, freak out about the fact that she won an immunity. So I think she could be in trouble. Jamie, I think, can wave the idol around and say, like what you said, Jesse, like, don't vote for me. I have an idol. And then they'll either force her to call her bluff or, and like maybe go home next week. But I think Lauren is probably the one who is more intimidating than Jamie at this point.
Yeah, I agree with you, Alexa. I don't know why I did it the way I did, but once I said it, I couldn't go back. Jeannie wasn't going back in the bottle. Jesse, what do you have as the correct answer for this week? Because you have something totally different than us.
Correct answer. So I have, and I went back and forth on this. I could not decide who to put at the bottom. But I think that Danny sort of edged out Kane, and he's at 8, and Kane is at 9. I think Danny's so low because, you know, he did make this big move. I feel like it's a little bit early to just like put yourself out there like that. He didn't just play an idol like for himself or whatever. He played an idol for someone else, which shows that he's like willing to just go for it, really expose himself. I think he's also kind of funny. Like people didn't seem to take offense to like, you know, the fart. Like he's just seems to be just like this. He has this charisma about him, right? Like, you know, and he seems like he's willing to make big plays for SOGA members, which means that in my mind, if I'm out there, I'm thinking there's like a cluster, right? And Danny is this like big player and it's Danny, Heidi, Franny. And so if I'm going to shoot for somebody, I'm going to try and shoot for Danny. But I think the good thing about Danny is that I could see him being a shield. I could see you just like letting build himself up. I know on my season, there was a point where I was thinking, and it didn't end up panning out because we split tribals and then James went home, but I was thinking of James as like this person that could just build himself up because he has the knowledge of power. We know he has the knowledge of power. Let's keep building him up as this target that everybody thinks he is. And then down the stretch, we can get him. Mm-hmm. Kane, I don't know. I think I have a lot of notes on Kane. I think that based on Exit Press, Brandon didn't really trust him. So it seemed like they had a very temporary working relationship. And I wonder how much of Brandon's opinion of Kane rubbed off on his ally, Lauren. Mm-hmm. And so if Lauren has to go into self-preservation mode, she's going to, I think, could easily throw Kane out. And like, you know, if we're going to take a shot at a Ratu member, let's take a shot at Kane. Like, I could see her and Jamie, like, turning on Kane. I think that he does have this relationship with Carson and connection to Tika. But he also had that moment in one of the episodes where Carson gave him info. And then he just, like, went out there and, like, just started doing things that, like, made Carson nervous. So I don't think he's going to get that same sort of... you know, Carson's sticking his neck out for him anymore. So I think he's probably the most in danger out of Ratu.
Yeah, Kane's a very interesting one because while I feel like we've seen what makes Kane tick, which is, you know, his nerdiness and all of that, like we've gotten that. We have gotten so little of what he's actually doing in the game of Survivor. You know, like like, what is his strategy other than, like, acting like he's in an RPG? Like, I don't know what his strategy is. And it's fun, and it's good to watch. But, like, we saw him bond with Carson. I was surprised how close him and Brandon seemed. And then the Exit Press really did bring it back to life of, like, yeah, no, they weren't close. Like, what the hell are we talking about? But what is he doing to make relationships with everybody else? What is he hoping – like, what is he thinking in his head? This will be my story if I sit at the end and I'm convincing a jury to give me $1 million. I don't know what his story is. Whereas, like, I feel like on your season, Jesse, I knew everybody's story down the stretch. Even if we weren't seeing it like in a lot of detail, I felt like I knew how Owen was going to pitch himself, how you would pitch yourself, how Cass would pitch herself, how Carla would pitch herself. I could see that. I'm just not seeing that from Kane. But I still feel like he's one of the more prominent figures on this season. It's very weird. It's just very, very weird.
What I think I appreciate that we are only getting like very personal content from him. I feel like he's keeping a player like him, like keeps the season very grounded because he is like looking around in wonder. And it's kind of like what Jam Jam was saying way back in the premiere about like, I live in humidity. Like this means nothing to me. And it makes it Survivor again, which I think is something that I'm always going to be looking for a little bit. So I'm curious, like if Kane is watching this saying, I wish they talked more about my strategy, or I'm glad that they're showing me as someone just really appreciating the situation he's in. But yeah, strategically, I never knew where he and Brandon stood. I don't know where any of the Ratus stand with each other, and that is no fault of any of theirs. So,
yeah, so. I feel like the closest we got to knowing where they stand was in the split tribal when they were like, we're going to stick together. Okay, but now are they going to continue to stick together now that Brandon's gone? I don't know mm-hmm. because Kane was the only one not a part of that too when they were sticking together. So I don't know. Like this is a weird final nine because obviously you didn't have a final nine because it was the James and then who was the other person went from your tribe?
Ryan.
That's right. So yeah. It was James and Ryan. So that was different. This I'm feeling like is the first time in this game where I'm like, it really could be anybody except for the three people I have as my top three. Beyond
which
that,
is, which is Tika, which right? Is Tika.
Yeah.
And beyond that, I think there's a reason to get rid of everybody. And honestly, Jesse, you said why Carson could go. And I'm like, it kind of makes sense why Carson would go then. Like it's a good final nine. And I feel like whoever's doing our final eight power ranking is going to have a lot easier of a time. And is we're all three of us are probably going to be like right in sync, right down the line. Uh-huh. We give our toughest battles to Jesse. Okay.
Jesse, you did great. I'm glad you stuck to your guns on some of your choices.
Thank you. I didn't change anything.
Was there ever a point where you were going to change your bottom two? Like, had we done enough convincing?
No.
That's what I like to hear.
That's someone who has played versus two people who have not played.
Yeah.
And I think it helped. Like, once I was like thinking about changing Heidi. And Alexa was like, no, stick to your guns. I was like, yeah, no, all right, fine. I'm not changing anything.
Yeah.
Gotta own it.
Life now.
Well, Jesse, it was awesome having you on. Last question we have to ask you, who is going to win this season as of today?
Do you really need to ask?
Are you actually going there?
I'm tweeting about this.
Phil, get out of here with your negativity. I couldn't agree more, Jesse.
Wait, so Alexa, is this your official winner pick? Is that what you mean?
I think mine was, I think I picked Maddie, so sure.
Yeah, well, yeah, I picked
Maddie. Sorry, Maddie, I believe. I picked Helen. I believe
you did. In our fantasy game, Jesse, our first two picks this year, I had the first pick. I took Maddie. Alexa had the second pick. She took Helen. So that tells you
everything
you
need to know about
how intelligent we are. But you're going Carolyn, sits at Final Tribal, and convinces the jury to give her $1 million.
Could I call myself a stan if I didn't pick Carolyn?
It's true.
To win. It's a requirement.
As somebody who got a house this year just so I could have somebody erect a statue of Michelle and a statue of Gabler in my backyard, I totally understand where you're coming from.
He said it.
Yeah.
Someone had to do it.
I get it. I understand where you're coming from. Look, man. If she pulls it off, we've had three very unlikely winners since season 40. She would probably be the most unlikely of those winners. And that's saying a lot, and that'd be awesome.
Ooh.
No, I'm talking from pre-game.
I'm so excited.
I'm not talking about like from in the season. Pre-game, I'm sitting there, I'm looking at her, I'm like, 18th place. Done. Bye.
See Phil, you. Off camera. Phil, off camera, let's make a little... Because as everyone has talked about, Phil and I are going to the New York City finale party. So we can make a little bet, Phil. And one of us will have to buy each other some form of beverage.
I don't know. Our fans want to buy us tequila shots. Good idea or bad idea to do tequila shots at a finale party?
Oh, God. You're going to make me relive
that's the hard
my finale party?
I'm reliving the ones I went to.
Yeah. I got carried out of my finale party.
That's where after we hit the end broadcast
button. Yeah, we'll hit end broadcast and we'll really get into detail and then we'll leak it to TMZ, everybody. But anyway, Alexa,
Jesse, it was so great to have you on. It was so great to chat with you. Excited to see who goes home this week. You have a very different choice, a very different pick from Phil and I, which makes sense because Phil and I have been talking each other's ears off for like a decade. Everyone, tune in right after the episode this week. We are on schedule. We'll be live at 9:05, 9:06 p.m. Eastern, whenever we're done gossiping. Also, for those of you who are patrons, it is dangerously close to the end of the month. So don't worry. Phil and I are planning for that. We're going to release our patron podcast this week, probably Wednesday or Thursday. And if you're not a patron, now is a fantastic time to become one. End of the month, we're always trying something new. We're going to, you know, have a good retrospective and some good Q&As. Maybe our Q&A will be if you could erect two statues in front of your home of Survivor players, who would they be?
That question will be on there. So everybody make sure.
I gotta really sleep on that one. Thank you again, Jesse. It was so great to chat with you. And we'll see y'all on Wednesday.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.